You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Irirangi Pōhō, Radio Bosom.
The Wire.
Tell us about it, Ben.
So on Sunday, the Green Party kickstarted a campaign focusing a lot around bringing a little more compassion into the welfare system.
As it needs.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, last year, former co-leader Matilda Touré's benefit fraud admission obviously shunted the party's welfare reform calls. Mm. And now it feels like the Greens have had a bit of a chance to regroup, which is quite interesting. So new co-leader Marama Davidson has come forward over the weekend and says it's important she continues the work the party was trying to achieve last year. And so this campaign really is about poverty reduction through reducing excess sanctions and benefit sanctions and increasing what you can earn per week before it starts affecting your benefit. So I spoke to Marama Davidson this morning and I started off by asking her what she means when she says this campaign's about putting heart into the social support system.
There are a number of policy points. We need to ensure that people are able to make ends meet. So we actually do need to increase the baseline benefits. Currently, what we know is that it's just harder and harder for people to get into any sort of secure situation. We are also asking to remove sanctions because they actually punish people for being low income or being poor. It actually makes things harder. We need to change the amount of benefit that you lose once you start going into paid employment. So a lot of parents, solo parents, have said to me they would love to start working part-time, but they actually lose too much benefit to make it worthwhile. For example, we'd like to see that you could earn up to $200 without that affecting your benefit. We'd also like to see the current sort of tax credits that are given, they actually discriminate against babies and children with parents not in employment who are not over an arbitrary amount of hours. So we'd like to remove that discrimination and combine the tax credits with the family tax credit. But really, we'd also, I mean, I guess this is sort of changing the whole approach of changing the system to one that actually does support rather than punish people. And I think lastly, taking people on their individual needs. Currently, if you are in a relationship, you are penalised quite a bit and, you know, people who receive a benefit are the only group who are judged and penalised in that way. So that's just an overview of how we think we could actually put the heart back into our social support system.
What would it mean for beneficiaries if work and income was to take a lesser role in their personal lives?
For example, I mean, people may recall the woman who was penalised for going on a couple of Tinder dates. I mean, that sort of intrusive approach into people's personal lives is unnecessary and it actually doesn't help. But it also means you are penalised if your partner is receiving a supported needs benefit. So there's no need, you know, we think that people should be able to be, I guess, assessed and we need to on their individual needs and we can align the couple rates at the double of the individual rates. So, for example, I get this letter all the time and contact all the time from people saying they just feel like they have no independence, their partner is on a supported living benefit and they are unable to access any sort of dignified level of income. Currently, the Property Relationships Act has a test around relationships and we think that we should make sure that that's consistent with the sole parent support benefit, which means that within, you know, inside of 3 years, you're not actually considered in a relationship. So we know that that would make a big difference for people who shouldn't be fearful of seeing someone at the start of a relationship and feeling like, oh no, that person is now going to be responsible for my financial needs of my whole family. That's quite absurd, and that's just some of the changes that we would like to see made.
In regards to the children of beneficiaries, how important is increasing benefits in terms of child poverty reduction?
So at the moment, we're probably safe to say, because it's around, I don't know, 150,000, less than 150,000 families are living in a situation where it is just too hard to make ends meet, living below the poverty line, and that So essentially, we'd be safe to say that that probably extends to over 200,000 tamariki in New Zealand who are just living in situations that are unnecessary. The overviews, the policy changes that I've just been through with you, they would actually help end poverty for probably over 200,000 children in this country. And, you know, that would make an incredible difference for all of us. Poverty is expensive for us, for all of us together. It has costs down the road when it comes to health, when it comes to education, when it comes to employment, and also justice. It has cumulative, harmful impacts on people, individuals and families and children. So these policy levers would actually strengthen our whole nation and is morally the right thing to do.
You've mentioned recently the term entrenched disadvantage that a lot of New Zealanders face. Will this support campaign kind of help turn that around a little bit?
Yes, it will. It's really difficult to get out from under the rug. It's really hard to try and get ahead. Too many people have to go into debt just to buy, whether it's groceries or some petrol or transport costs, just to live ordinary life. Too many people are going into debt with the incredibly high rents and living costs that we are facing all around the country. It's just too difficult for far too many people, and they want to get ahead. They have aspirations. They actually look forward to being in secure, you know, living wage employment. At the moment, we don't actually move people on to secure living wage employment. We're having a real problem. The work obligations in place have an unrelenting focus on finding work. You know, and this is part of the removing sanctions stuff. That actually don't help. And too many people go off a benefit into low-paid, casual and secure work and end up back on because it's just too difficult. So instead, we need to look at having a proper system of support that over the long term can really help people get themselves into a better situation. And that's alongside, we need better housing solutions, which we're working on, and alongside good employment and education and training opportunities as well.
The campaign's going to be seeking community views around these issues. What do you hope to hear from New Zealanders?
Yes, so our campaign is asking for people to pledge their support for those sort of five policy points that I've outlined. We really welcome people. We have a website through the Green Party website to be able to allow people to sign on. Also, as you've alluded to, we want people to get involved with the conversation. Currently, there is the welfare, it's an independent welfare expert advisory group. They are calling for New Zealanders to get involved with the conversation. They are asking for people to submit their stories. I would really encourage people to give us a good, I guess, summary insight of what's happening out there. What are the things that are making it hard? And also, what are the solutions? What sort of assistance would people really, really benefit from? I would really encourage people, whether it's through the Green Party, is encouraging people to get involved with that discussion. Also through our website, and also we've got, we've got ways for people to be able to write their ideas down and give them to us. And also, and that's all going to feed into the welfare, the advisory group work as well.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.